Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast, The Rice is Right Podcast.
Is that the name now?
What do you think?
I think we need to work a little more. We're still working.
In the beta phase of The Rice is Right Podcast. I'm Anthony Russo, social media coordinator here at Calvary Church in Clearwater, Florida, joined by Dr. Willie Rice, known around these parts as Pastor Willie. Pastor Willie, how are you today?
I'm great. It's good to be back sitting down talking to you.
Yeah, last week we had Pastor Danny Bennett on the podcast.
Yeah, how was that?
He did a fine job.
Good. Danny always does good.
He did a fine job. This week, I want to start on what may be a sensitive subject before we dive into the sermon and things. For those of you that maybe don't know this, Pastor Willie is a pretty big University of Florida fan.
That is true. Yep.
How did that start?
I grew up in my house. If you wanted to eat at night, you cheered for Gators. So honestly, you know, I say that, but honestly, it just from my earliest days, my parents, my mother, as equally as my father, were cheering for Florida, and we had family members who went. I had an uncle who went there. And of course, since then, my brother has been there. My daughter graduated from there. So one of my daughters. So it through the year, but I grew up with it. It was just ingrained, and for better or for worse, that's
right.
That's what we are.
And I actually said this to Cheryl, I think, last week. Since I came on staff at Calvary, the Gators were undefeated.
Until last week.
And I was out of town last week. And I don't think these things are not connected.
Are you in town this coming week?
I'm going to be here. I'm not leaving town ever again.
Yeah, we almost always lose one somewhere along the way, but hopefully they're getting a little better. It's been a rough couple years for us.
Yeah, but you're okay. You're dealing with the loss.
Oh, I'm doing.
You're processing.
It's fine. I'm more worried about the next one now.
No, there you go. Well, that was we're going into the sermon from this weekend. The sermon was called "What Faithfulness Looks Like." We're in the series "Thy Kingdom Come." The text was Matthew 25. 14-30. This is a story about the parable of the talents. I think it's probably how I learned about it growing up. I thought it was such a great message. This series has been great, by the way.
It's been a lot of fun to teach. So many great stories that Jesus told.
And I think that I love the angle that you took on this because. Again, for those of you that may not know, I haven't been here at Calvary. I've been here about 6-7 months at this point. And so right from the beginning, I heard the language here that's so different than any other language at a church that I had heard, which was multiplication. Mm-hmm. You know, I came into the X150 vision 3 years in, essentially, and I just thought X, I didn't know what the X you know, meant at the time. And then to hear that was multiplication, it's really incredible. It's an incredible vision. It's an incredible way to see life and ministry. So I wanted to dive into that a little bit today. Again, the parable of the talents, for those of you that may not be familiar, I'll just give you a brief summary. A man is going on a journey. He calls his servants together and he gives them each talents. And I think you did this at length in the sermon. I won't do it as long here. Talents is a currency, right?
It's a weight. But it would translate to a lot of money today. It's a measurement of weight.
Okay. So it's not a talent. It's not a gifting or an ability in this story.
Correct. It's not the way we use the word talent.
Yeah, it would be like an economic resource.
Right. It's an amount of money.
So he gives them, three of his servants, these things. He gives one five, he gives another two, and he gives another one. And the one with five takes it, and when the master returns from the journey, he gives the master 10. The other one takes the two. When the master returns, he gives the master four, and then the third one gets the one and gives the one back to the master at the end, and he is condemned for that behavior. So love the premise of here, which was multiplication. This is probably the most, by my view, the most direct correlation to multiplication, maybe in the whole Bible, just as far as, man, it's just right there in front of you. And the line in the, I think in the outline, it was, we know what God expects. God expects his gifts to be multiplied. Which is so great because it's, I love one way you've worded this in the past is it's not about making one church, you know, talking about it from the church context, a little bigger. It's about multiplying the impact of that church. And maybe even just for a second, just expounding on that thought a little bit more.
Right. You know, and it, I mean, I grew up in the church growth era. I learned to define success in ministry by getting bigger, reaching more people, and that church growth equaled the Great Commission. Well, that's not exactly true. I think church growth is a good thing, and I think there are a lot of good things in the church growth movement, but simply gathering more people doesn't necessarily equate with the Great Commission of making disciples. And so I think a couple of years ago, we kind of fell into this where we were looking at what's the strategic vision of our church. And as excited as we were for a decade of addition, as we just talk with leaders, one of the ideas that seemed to percolate up from the bottom, and I really think the Holy Spirit was working in my life, the life of our team, as well as our leaders, was this idea of multiplication, that we didn't just want, and this is a phrase I've borrowed from other friends, but we didn't want just one big church to get a little bit bigger, as good a thing as that is. Mm-hmm. We wanted to do something that would last in 150 years, mm-hmm. And that to us became an obvious thing, plant churches, because some of them will last 150 years. Maybe not all, but if you multiply, then the impact that you have for the kingdom is exponentially larger than if you just focus on one institution, however wonderful, however good, getting bigger. Mm-hmm. So that came the idea of let's spend the next decade focusing on multiplication rather than addition.
And so that started 3 years ago, 2012?
16.
2000, oh, wow.
Yeah, your number's a little
off. Oh, my. Yeah. That was real bad.
16, yep.
That was real bad. Sorry, podcast fans. 2016 was 3 years ago. I'm getting older. I'm learning that as when we say that was 3 years ago.
That's right.
I was 2016, and X150, again, for those not familiar, to plant 150 churches in
that was our
years.
Goal to, we were at our 150th anniversary at Calvary, mm-hmm. and so it became, hey, what if in the next 10 years we could multiply by 150? And then we broke that down between planting churches internationally, nationally, revitalizing churches, and starting new campuses.
Yeah. And so now that's what we've been talking about here is the X150 Advance, the 3 years in, what's this next phase going to look like? And we've kind of got that into three categories. There's a lot of pieces to it, but churches, still the focal point. It's, mm-hmm. it's going to be with X150. Champions, Christian leaders.
Raising up next generation leaders.
Mm-hmm, and then children.
Right.
And so I think it's been... It's such an interesting way as an organization, as a church, to be leading out front in this, but also to personalize this and to live a life based around multiplication, to see those things. Because mm-hmm. I think it's easier, it's maybe lower hanging fruit to focus on addition, more, how do I make a little bit more money work? How do I have a little bit bigger house, a little bit more?
It's a lot easier to accomplish, a lot easier to measure.
Yeah.
Right out of the gate.
So, and that's somewhere I wanted to dive today. You know, one of the observations about multiplication, a couple of weeks ago, you had a great chart, which we can make available in the podcast info, but it was, if you got $4,000 a day for a month, was that what it
no,
was?
No, I compared, you know, that it, 1,000. It was $1,000 a day. You know, person A gets $1,000 a day for 30 days. Mm-hmm. Person B starts with a penny. And they double it every day.
Right.
You know, so you have 2 cents the next day, 4 and 8 and 16. And after 1 week, he still has less than a dollar.
Right.
The other guy's got 7,000.
Yeah.
And it's an old illustration. And, you know, but by the end of the month, there's no comparison.
Right.
I can't remember, but it's like 5 million or 10 million.
Yeah.
I don't have my notes in front
of me. I'm very good with numbers
millions,
today.
Yes.
So I would.
Millions of dollars if you multiply it versus. You know, $30,000.
Right.
It's there's no comparison.
And one big takeaway I had from that, and even just from the message this weekend, I thought it was just reiterated in my mind, is that multiplication can take time.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a slower thing. You mentioned it a minute ago. Addition can be easy. It can be a little quicker. Can be a little easier. On a church scale, it might be. Can we drum up something to get a whole bunch of people in a room?
Right.
And that's a little bit of an easier task,
right.
I think.
And again, I don't disparage drawing a crowd. I don't disparage growth. That can be addition beats subtraction. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So But yeah, in that illustration, and even if you change the numbers, you know, in some way, addition looks bigger faster.
Mm-hmm.
It looks more impressive faster. It's easier to measure. And it is, even though it can be a challenge to accomplish, it is easier to accomplish mm-hmm. than multiplication. Multiplication is slower.
Mm-hmm.
Multiplication is messier. And multiplication is harder to measure for a long period of time, maybe even forever. Mm-hmm. It's harder to measure. If it really happens, it's harder to measure because you can't even control it.
Right. Yeah, it all happens outside of yourself, or a lot of it does.
Well, yeah, you can't control it. You know, one pastor once said, I think it was Rick Warren, who said, you can structure for a growth or control, but you can't structure for both.
That's good.
And there's maybe a lot of truth to that. You can try to control something, and boy, you could try to control it. But if you really want to see it grow, and if you want to see it grow exponentially, it's mm-hmm. especially true. At some point, it's going to be outside your control. Mm-hmm. There are things you can't control.
A degree of risk, which was heavy this message this last weekend. I thought, you know, especially that quote you just said works great with that third servant who buries. Mm-hmm. It said, I can control this. You know, I thought it was such an interesting point you said. Maybe the master in the parable I'm talking about now doesn't return. Some of that.
It's a great story because you don't know his motive.
Right.
You know, he gives a motive, but the master... you know, torpedoes it. You know, his motive is, I was afraid, and therefore I hit it. And the master said, well, if that were true, if you knew I was somebody who, you know, he said, I was afraid because I knew you were a harsh man, you would expect a return. He says, well, if that's the case, you'd have put it in the bank,
mm-hmm.
which means that wasn't really the case.
Yeah.
There's another motive there. And then he calls him evil and wicked, which gives us some insight into it even further. I think that, and so I'm conjecturing here,
mm-hmm.
But I think that he was selfish. And when you say he's wicked, I mean, I think there was a part of him that thought maybe the master wouldn't come back.
Yeah.
And that if he buried it and he hid it, that eventually it would all be his. And so rather than risk it and invest it and use it for the master's gain, he just hit it, hoping, I think, to hang on to it.
Right.
And because, again, that's why he was called a wicked, lazy servant.
Yeah, I think there's so much good in that. And as you internalize that, again, being a part of this church is so great because the church is being led by this incredible vision and we're following after this thing. And I think it begs you to think, how do I do this in my life and what's it look like in my life? And oftentimes it is slow and it is risky when you seek multiplication, which means that you're pulling people in or you're investing into things that aren't additionally making sense right away. You know, it's easy to say, give this to buy this and the exchange mm-hmm. is done. It's harder to invest, you know, in a person. A story I had when I was thinking about this is when we make breakfast at my house in the morning. My son's 4 years old. And he always wants to help make breakfast and make pancakes is like the big go-to. That's, chocolate chip pancakes.
Oh, man.
And I'm a nutritionist father, so I'm always giving him chocolate chip pancakes.
I'm with your son. I'm with the chocolate chip pancakes, man.
So we do that in the morning. And he loves to help. He wants to stir. He's yeah, like always yeah. wanting to get involved in the process. I'm not a good cook, by the way. So this is like the extent of my cooking prowess is pancakes. And it's a mess when he helps.
It's longer.
It's longer. It's messier. There's less pancakes.
Perfect illustration.
Because
yeah.
there's stuff everywhere. So why do you do it? You do it because you're pouring into this kid. You love
yeah.
this kid. This is like the result of this is not to be felt right now.
Right.
Right? You don't be easier to say, can you just watch your iPad now? I'm going to go make these pancakes
right.
and we'll be done with this thing. It's messy. It takes time. But the yield is so much greater.
Right.
You know, that precious time you get to spend with that kid. And it's in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's in everything that we do.
And there's so many yields. I mean, it is in the time you get invested, which is a treasure. But one day he'll make his own pancakes.
That's right.
You know, he will learn how to do that and teach others to do it as well.
Yep.
And that's exactly it. Multiplication has to happen. I think this is a great point. It has to happen on the molecular level.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about multiplying churches, and that's a great congregational vision. But to really succeed at that vision, it has to be owned personally. And owning it personally doesn't just mean supporting this vision. It means evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
It gets back to our who's your one,
mm-hmm.
who are you trying to reach, And it gets back to personal discipleship. Who are you investing in? Which is something we've emphasized in the past, but not nearly enough. And I promise you, it's coming in the next few months where we want to have a major thrust in talking to our people about discipling relationships. How are you investing in others? So it's got to happen. You've got to multiply your life. I have to multiply mine. 5 years from now, who is there walking with Christ because of what you have done over the next 5 years? And it will be messy, and it will be hard, and some things will be slower, but the ultimate win of a multiplication is huge.
Yeah. And so if you're in that, again, that's kind of my encouragement. I hope what you take away from that point is that it can take time. If it doesn't feel like it's there right now, it doesn't mean it'll never be there, which kind of leads to the next thought, which is that multiplication is selfless. In this story, these stewards, really, the people that are looking after the masters, the talents that have been given to them, they give it all back. They double it to give it back. It's not a selfish ambition, which is the same there. One thing I love about our relationship, with churches that we plant, especially like X150 National plant churches, man, they're just off and running. Like they're doing their thing, and we get to sort of we love that. We love them as brothers and sisters in Christ, but there's no, you know, the people that attend that church regularly are not necessarily don't know Calvary from some other churches. Right. A lot of them, they just are worshiping there. It's not to build the name of Calvary. It's to advance the kingdom.
Right. You're investing in others, and you're investing in the kingdom. And of course, the reason you do, going back to the Bible story, is those servants understood, first of all, it belongs to the master. It doesn't belong to you.
That's right.
But notice that they get great gain.
Right.
Because the master is the one who comes and says, you're faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you faithful over many things.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what we want to understand in this season in our church, that when you give to the kingdom, it's not really about sacrificing, although sacrifice is a good needed value. It's really about strategic investing. Mm-hmm. Generosity is motivated because I believe in a kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I just want to invest in that kingdom. So those servants actually gain more in the end, and not only more material resources, but both times the master says, enter into your master's joy. Mm. There is spiritual joy. There is relational joy in that story. For us, that's the joy of the Lord. The one who loses is the one who tried to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's that whole spiritual dynamic that Jesus taught. The one who loses his life is the one who finds it.
Mm-hmm.
And the one who tries to save it is actually the one who loses it.
Yeah. I love that verse too. When you were talking, I thought of seek first the kingdom of God and it'll be added to you.
Right.
So it's you're doing it not for that reason, but then there's this great. I love too, there's a tension within that just to be upfront. I mean, serving on the team here has been such a blessing, and I love it. And I love that corporately there's a tension here that we all should be feeling personally, which is that we want to pour and we want to invest outside of ourselves, and we also are taking care of ourselves here, which you mentioned on Sunday. We got to take care of our campuses. We got to take care of Clearwater, because if you're not taking care of that, then you're not going to have any sort of impact outside of yourself.
Well, again, it comes down to the fact multiplication has to happen on the molecular level. It has to happen at the smallest place, at the cell. And it's how our bodies multiply. And that's, if we're going to have a multiplying impact, then we have to be multiplying right here in Clearwater. We have to be winning people, discipling people, Clearwater, at Eastlake, at Seminole, at all of our, in the Tampa Bay area.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, in one of the lines I've used, you don't increase multiplication by weakening the multiplier.
That's right.
You want the multiplier to be strong, winning people, discipling people, growing, making an impact on our community. So we're not trying to weaken Calvary Local in order to strengthen someone else. It's not an either or proposition.
Right.
It's, hey, let's make an impact in Tampa Bay. Let's be strong. Let's continue to make a huge impact. And let's do it so that we can also make an impact around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And I loved the kind of where you landed, not landed, but it was touched on throughout, is the risk factor. I know we talked about it a little bit earlier too. And one of the great takeaways was you can't be faithful and play it safe. I thought that was such a great line from this weekend. And I think you got to know that there's levels of that involved here. And again, I go back to the molecular level. I go back to the person to person. When you invest relationally, when you invest in people, there's risk involved here, especially people. You know, we talked about foster care, my goodness, if you've known anybody who's fostered, I mean, there is, you
great
are
risk.
Giving
great
and
risk.
Giving and giving to this, to a system that feels like it's not the best, and to all these different things. But you got to do, you have to do it. I mean, you have to.
Well, multiplication is not easy. That's mm-hmm. what we're saying. And I'm glad you brought up, you know, the big emphasis that's part of this is on, you know, rescuing children, helping to give children a better life, particularly through foster care and adoption ministries. And you're right. Anyone who wants to glamorize or romanticize those ministries is not doing anyone a favor because it can be difficult. Mm-hmm. It can be tough. And so we try to be fair and straightforward with people. It is, again, messy. But think of the power mm-hmm. of one child's life. Think of what could happen if one child's life is changed, the trajectory that one child could have. So do we win them all? No. Mm-hmm. But just think about what can happen by winning one.
Yeah.
So that's the power of multiplication. We is it messy? Yes. Is it hard? Absolutely. Is it expensive? That's another word you could throw in there. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, but is it worth it? In the end, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's our podcast. That's our podcast today. I think our takeaways were that we've got to right the Gators ship, and I'm not leaving town on Saturdays anymore. And
well, we got a lot of folks that cheer for other teams too. So you know, we don't want to cash them
out.
But
I went to the University of Tampa, so
you're a Spartan.
I'm a Spartan, and our lacrosse team, man, I'm a big fan, big supporter of our lacrosse team. Go UT lacrosse.
There you go.
Big matchup this weekend, I'm sure. I don't know if it's lacrosse season.
And hey, the Calvary Warriors, Calvary Christian Warriors are doing awful. Doing awesome. I said awful.
Awesome.
I meant to say awesome. They're doing great. Our volleyball team is doing great. They're playing for a championship. So all of our sports teams doing awesome. And so we give a shout out to the Warriors.
Shout out CCHS.
CCHS. Let's go.
All right. Well, we will see you next week.
Thanks.